The Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio, of, for, and by you, the people. Live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Call in with your thoughts at 888-6-LESLIE.
To set you free. How you doing? I'm Leslie Marshall. Happy Friday, TGIF Friday, or whoever you think that it's Friday. It is Friday, but it's been a crazy week, across the board. I think in almost every industry, no matter what you do for a living, everybody I think has had a long and stressful week, so we deserve Friday. And that's why I'm very excited to have with us, and I want to thank all of you who watch us, who listen to us every single place that we are, which is pretty much every single place that you can watch and listen. And we thank you for being with us. And I thank in advance our guest today because, you know, certainly ending up the week that's been so stressful, it's nice to talk to somebody that I like personally, professionally, admire so much, and also just, feel like it's not work, when I'm doing an interview with this person. That's President Liz Shuler. President Shuler is president of the 60 unions and 12.5 million members of the AFL-CIO. I know she's slacking, doesn't take care of enough people, right? And the first woman leader of America's labor movement. She's a visionary leader. She's a longtime trade unionist, and she believes that the labor movement is the single most important, powerful vehicle for progress and that unions are a central force in leading lasting societal transformations. She's committed to busting myths about labor, leveraging the labor movement's diversity for innovative approaches to social justice, and making the benefits of a union voice on the job available to working people everywhere. You got to check out their website. They do so much at the AFL-CIO, a lot more than you think, because you got to read to see the myths that aren't there anymore. We're busting those. The website for the AFL-CIO is AFLCIO.org. Once again, AFLCIO.org. On Twitter, now X, follow them at AFLCIO. And if you want to follow President Shuler, follow her as well, at Liz Shuler, LizSHuler. President Shuler, thank you for taking the time on this Friday. I know that you've had a crazy busy week, and thank you for coming back with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a joy to be with you. And yes, it is Friday.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, a lot of people gearing up, but we were just talking off the air about Memorial Day. A lot of people gearing up for Memorial Day. And, before holidays or ends of week and certainly ends of months, you get reports, right? And a lot of reports come out. And ahead of the Workers' Memorial Day, which is April 28th, you at the AFL-CIO released your 33rd annual report. And one thing that I think people forget is how many people are injured or even lose their lives on the job, and why that happens and how it can be avoided. And Death on the Job, The Toll of Neglect, 33rd annual report. Talk to us about this report, why it's important that it come out. I mean, obviously, this is information that employees need to know, whether you're in a union or not, and employers need to know as well.
Yeah, Leslie, and thanks for raising this up, because not many people know that we have a Workers' Memorial Day each year. And we should be thinking about this more than just once per year, because as you said, 344 workers a day lose their jobs, or I'm sorry, lose their lives on the job.
Right.
And, there are many people out there listening who know someone who have lost a loved one, or maybe someone in their family that's also been injured on the job, who often will die as a result of those injuries later, right? Having worked for a company that perhaps was not taking care of their health and safety. So this is the one day a year where we lift that up. We raise the collective consciousness of our country. Because those folks who have died should not be, have not died in vain. So this report will catalog, all of the data. It's a state-by-state look at, the health and safety laws. It gives direction to policymakers and regulators to address what we call as a real scourge that working people are facing at work. And the one thing I wanted to point out that was startling again this year is the disproportionate rates of Latino and Black workers that die on the job. And in fact, Black workers are facing the highest job fatality rates in nearly 15 years. And Latino workers continue to face the greatest risk of dying on the job compared to all other workers.
That's terrible that, you know, when we are making progress in so many areas, especially with minorities and minorities in the workforce, to see numbers like that among Blacks and Latinos. I know that the report also sheds light on the cost of those injuries, those on-the-job injuries, the cost of that illness. And that's not just a cost to the employer and to a factory, a manufacturing plant, a company. That's also, an injury, an illness on our society. Can you speak to us about that cost? Because obviously, first and foremost, it's cost the human being has lost their lives. Maybe the family member has lost their sole working breadwinner and lost their livelihood and lost their loved one. But we as a society have a loss when it comes to these injuries and illnesses. And that is the dollar signs, the money involved.
That's absolutely true. And, I think it's an estimated $174 billion to $348 billion a year. If you talk about the dollars and cents, not to mention, the fact that we have flat funded budgets for job safety agencies who are trying to keep up with the volume of, complaints that they're seeing. And of course, those numbers, as you said, don't even reflect the human toll that this takes. I spoke to a woman who lost her husband in an accident on a farm, which was a small family farm, so it was exempt from OSHA protections. OSHA couldn't even get access to the farm to do their investigation. Because it was exempt, the small farm exemption. She basically, her and her children, were left without a breadwinner in their family overnight. Workers' comp wasn't an option for them, right? And so it leaves families stranded. And as you said, every single death that happens, there is a human face. And there is a ripple effect across a family, across a community, across our society and our economy.
Well, one of the things that I like about this report is not just education and you get the numbers, and we're going to talk about some of the revelations in this report. But as you mentioned, this report offers direction to policymakers. And the report also outlines strategies, right, to address the crisis, including a renewed commitment to regulatory oversight agencies, improved data and transparency, stronger deterrence against employer retaliation, prioritizing standard setting and enforcement. And you as a union, and you cover so many areas, under the umbrella of the AFL-CIO, this year's report from 2022, you touched upon some of this, that we have seen an increase in the fatality rate of Black workers. We have seen an increase the fatality of Latino workers as well. Why do you think this is, and not just toward Black and Latino workers? And I say that because it seems like, especially, you guys do incredible work for your union employees. What's happening? Is it like you guys get to a certain level and then the corporation slacks off on some other areas when it comes to health and safety, on the job where these people are working?
Well, and it is a lot about enforcing our laws and the lack of capacity to do so. So you can have all the laws you want on the books, but if employers are not following the law and there's no watchdog there to call them out or call their attention to it, then workers die. Workers face illness and suffer the consequences. So I think that I just mentioned the budget for enforcement is down. The companies are more and more just looking to turn a profit. They're looking at their corporate bottom lines. They're looking to pad their own salaries. And then you have politicians in place who are actually, passing laws to curtail worker safety, things like, you know, bringing back child labor, for crying out loud, in the year 2024. So I think what it is we have, you know, employers who are recklessly disregarding the law because they see workers as expendable and often a cost of doing business when these accidents happen. And I can tell you, I spoke to a woman yesterday at an event at the Department of Labor who lost her husband as well. And it was a company that was on the list of the most egregious employers. There's litigation happening, and two more workers have died at that facility after her husband had died. So they're continuing to commit these same lack of safety protocols, even though workers have died as a result. So it's really just an absolute disregard for the need to protect people on the job. And sometimes they're safety remedies that actually are very little in cost or that, you know, are absolutely preventable. These accidents are absolutely preventable if employers would pay attention.
And like you said, there were two more people after that man that you spoke to, or the woman you spoke to, her husband passed away. So this isn't like an isolated incident. This is definitely a problem we see from these numbers. We'll continue to talk about this problem. We'll talk about solutions. We'll talk about these numbers with President Shuler. President Liz Shuler was president of 60 unions, 12.5 million members of the AFL-CIO. Once again, the website is aflcio.org. On Twitter, which is now X, follow them at AFL-CIO and follow President Shuler at Liz Shuler, L-I-Z-S-H-U-L-E-R. We will be back with you right after this. Don't go away. We are back. We is me, Leslie Marshall, and our guest, President Liz Shuler, president of the 60 unions and 12.5 million members of the AFL-CIO. Check out their website, aflcio.org, and on Twitter, which is now X. Follow them at AFL-CIO and follow President Shuler at Liz Shuler. That's S-H-U-L-E-R. President Shuler, anything else you wanted to say before I move into another area on this death on the job report ahead of Workers' Memorial Day?
Well, I guess just thinking about the critical role that this year's election will play in these issues that I'm talking about, this and so many others, you know, and we are in a critical election year, and we know the stark difference between what we saw in a Trump administration approach to safety and health versus what we've seen with the Biden administration. And the fact that the Biden administration is issuing critical regulations for safety, that they are actually staffing up at the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They actually appointed a liaison within OSHA for family members who have lost loved ones on the job. And wow. So that liaison is there to help them navigate through crisis. There's an endless list of what's been happening even just in the last couple of years. We do not want to go backwards. No. We want to continue to make progress for workers on the job, and in particular in safety and health. And we know that if we leave corporations to their own devices, workers will continue to die in higher numbers. We need safety and health protections to be prioritized, and we do that by reelecting Joe Biden.
High five. Yes, absolutely. I agree with you, 100%. You know, you had talked about, corporate employer intimidation, right? And, you know, we see these companies push back like crazy when people try to unionize. There was a recent win in Tennessee for the United Auto Workers. What do you think that means for the broader union movement, especially at the South? Because these are workers at auto plants in the South. They certainly should be free to unionize without pressure from those employers that we talked about, or anti-union governors. And that's what Julie Sue said, who's the acting U.S. Labor Secretary. There are some Southern states passing laws to actually inhibit organized labor, which I didn't know was legal to do. Doesn't sound very American to me.
Yes, a big, big win. It was historic. And, you know, especially when people said it couldn't be done in the South. And so we are all celebrating the courageous workers at that Chattanooga facility at Volkswagen. And there have been a whole wave of victories even just this week. So I think what it does is it creates momentum. When workers come together, they are able to push through those obstacles that those politicians put in their way. They break through, their voices are heard, and it energizes other workers to do the same. And so we just saw this week, I think it was just yesterday, two big wins on college campuses. The faculty at Pitt organized 3,000 faculty in Pittsburgh, and then KU in Kansas organized with the American Federation of Teachers. Pitt faculty were steelworkers, actually. Thousands and thousands of workers coming together just in the last couple of weeks. So we think this is just the tip of the iceberg, because every other day we're hearing of a new industry, a new part of the country where workers are rising and they're, you know, standing up for their fair share. They're fed up with the way the economy is not working for them. And they see unions as a pathway for change and for prosperity.
I wish you guys would do doctors. I'm telling you, the insurance got me. I told my husband, you shouldn't have become a doctor. You should have become the head of Blue Cross, you know, because it's this corporation heads that make all the money. When you talk about the UAW, when you talk about the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 73% of those voting, we're seeing really big numbers. I mean, we've seen in, 90%, I think, you know, recently too, with one of the Teamster contracts, but 73% of those voting at that plant to join a union. There are workers at Mercedes factories in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the South again, voting on representation next month. They've also targeted plants in Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, Texas, all Southern states. Is the pushback from the political leaders and the business leaders in the Southern states because, Republicans get a lot of checks from the rich corporate heads who get richer on the backs of their employees if they keep their employees' salaries low, don't want to pay pensions, don't want to pay for holidays? Since it's been happening since Adam and Eve, pretty much?
Well, you know, companies will do anything they can to get out of paying for things they don't want to. And that's why unions are so important, as we balance the scales. And we think that workers are what make the company successful. We're not just a cost to be factored into a balance sheet, that if you don't have talented, productive, skilled workers, the company is not successful. So we always come at it from a perspective of a win-win. When you treat your workers well, when you provide healthcare, when you provide a decent salary or a decent wage, everybody wins, because workers are more happy and productive and loyal, and turnover rates go down, and it actually is beneficial to the business. So we think that companies don't have to be union busting companies, that there is a better way. But unfortunately, most companies come at it with a hostile posture. Like, if workers want to form a union and want their voice heard and a seat at the table, they feel threatened by that. So we do see every kind of trick in the book: harassment, intimidation, discrimination, firing when people want to form a union. And people in the South have seen this movie before, over and over again, because of the Right to Work South. Workers' rights have been suppressed for so long. I think they felt sort of like, well, this is the best we can do, but not anymore, right? Because unions are on the rise. We've seen, they saw what happened with the big three auto workers and took inspiration from that and said, you know what, maybe we should take a chance. They took a big risk and it paid off. And that's because people are seeing, the all-time high of labor movement support. You see the energy coming from all these young people, diverse workers that we're seeing in some of these new industries. It's an excitement that is translating into organizing wins. And, we saw it at Bluebird in Georgia, where the steelworkers organized an electric bus company, where the company came out with everything they had, even though they were getting taxpayer subsidies from the federal government for this electric vehicle transition. They were using it for union busting. And so we fought back. Those workers stood firm, and they won their union. So we see this as an absolute kind of nowhere to go but up, especially in the South, and the momentum is absolutely palpable.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, look, electric vehicles are going to be the future. I would rather have them made in the United States. I would rather have them made in a union shop where I know the quality in the worker, in the workmanship. I don't want like T-shirts, 3 for $10, my car to fall apart after one wash, if you will. You spoke about politics and leaders, and this administration, President Biden's administration, he's clearly focused on supporting jobs in the country. You mentioned, subsidies, their grants to automakers who support a transition to electric vehicles. So a lot of what these corporations are saying isn't true if you look at what this administration is actually doing.
This administration is the most pro-union, pro-worker administration in history. And this week, Leslie, this week alone, Biden did more to support workers than Trump did in 4 years. If you looked at what just happened with the overtime regulation that's going to raise pay for more than 4 million workers, you had the non-compete agreement piece, coming out from the FTC to ban non-compete agreements that trap workers in horrible jobs. The fiduciary rule that means that our retirement savings are going to be protected. Every single week, President Biden has worked tirelessly for workers and putting workers first. And that's the kind of leadership we need.
I know you're extremely busy. We have less than a minute. Just tell me quick about hosting a climate equity and jobs event for Earth Day. Like, you don't have enough on your plate.
In 30 seconds or less, climate change is union business. It's about workers, because all the changes that are coming that we need to do to fight climate change are running right through the labor movement in our communities. And so it's about creating good jobs, having a clean environment. We can do both. It's not an either or.
And I think it's no coincidence that having the first female head of a labor union is one of the reasons that we have growth among labor unions in America today. I'm a little biased being a chick and liking you so much. President Shuler, thank you for being with us. Once again, the website for the AFL-CIO is AFLCIO.org. Follow them on formerly Twitter, now X, at AFL-CIO. And follow President Shuler. Listen to what she has to say, as well as the AFL-CIO, at Liz Shuler, LizShuler. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope you get to enjoy some of it.
You too. You're the best. Thank you.
You are. Thank you.